Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let somebody hop up and say it's all about that van life, baby. All about that van life. Van life. Abiding in the vine.
That's good.
Hashtag van life. It's all about that van.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, so if you would, open up your note sheet and get your pen out so that you can begin to follow along with the lesson. And you'll be able to take that with you and remember what you learned. I think it'd be great if we got notebooks made that said Acceleration Church on the front that are just that size, and we could punch holes in them. You could keep all your note sheets together. You could always refer back to them if you wanted to. I think that's a real good. What do y'all think about that? If we ordered those, you could just put your notes in them every week. That's been on my heart. I think I shall. I think we shall do it because we're big and grown, right? Yes. Amen. All right. Well, let's get right into our lesson. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What he does do, what he doesn't do. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit being here? Jesus said, look, I'm going away. They were sad because Jesus said, I'm going away. The disciples had lived with him every day for 3 years. They lived with him. They walked with him. He was their leader. He taught them to, you know, walk in the Spirit. He taught them to do signs and wonders and miracles. And, you know, when there was 5,000 to feed, Jesus was like, that's okay, just give me a little boy's lunch. And he'd pray and divide it, and he'd feed the 5,000. You know, when somebody that great of a ministry is in your midst, and somebody that you love, you're with every single day, of course you're going to be sad. He said, I'm going away. But the one who's coming after me, I mean, he said, I'm going away. He said, but I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. Another helper, an advocate, somebody who's called alongside to help you in life. He'll send him. He said, look, it's best for you that I go. Because if I don't go, I can't send him. And you need him, because it was the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus to do what he did. Amen. He received the Holy Spirit when he was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And right then was when he started to manifest the power in his life. Amen. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. He told them to wait in Jerusalem. He said, I want you to go in all the world and preach the gospel, but wait, don't go until you've been endued with power, until you receive the Holy Spirit. So he told them to wait in the upper room. They did. They waited, and the Bible says that they were all with one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit came in like a rushing mighty wind and filled all of them. And from that day forward, church changed. Because God never authorized a powerless gospel. God wants us to live in power. He wants us to live not only in power, but he wants us, that power has to come out of his nature. It has to come out of his nature, like the power that God wants to flow through us. Jesus said, the works that he does, greater works shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. So Jesus said that we should be doing the same kind of things that he did, but even greater. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we'll do that. Now, last week we looked at how love is the most important thing, and how it's out of a spirit of love that God wants to pour out his Spirit. He said, you know, if you can speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, you're nothing. If you give your body to be burned but you don't have love, God's love in you, he says you're a useless nobody. So it has to come out of love, this power that we want to tap into, that we're moving towards talking about. We got to really lay the right foundation so that we're as excited about the fruit of the Spirit as we are about the signs and the wonders and the miracles of the Spirit. Are you with me this morning, church? Amen. So that's where we are. That's our address right now. We're talking about manifesting the fruit of God in our life so that the real authentic power of God can flow. Anybody going with me? Amen. So we're talking about the Spirit-filled life. And here's our definition. The Spirit-filled life is a life lived with a sensitivity and constant yielding to the directions, promptings, and instructions of the Holy Spirit. John 15:16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what?
Bear fruit,
and that your fruit should remain. So the only way to do that is through an intimate relationship with God. God longs to have an intimate relationship with us. That's your first blank. He longs to have an intimate relationship with us. When you think about that, just think about it. How much we long to want to be with God and see God and be, you know, to experience Him. You know how wonderful that is? That we want, we long to be with Him. We, you know, like David said, my soul thirsts for you in a dry land. I'm thirsting for you, God. God's on the other side feeling the same way about us. He's on the other side going, I want it more than you do. You have no idea. He longs to have that intimate relationship with us so that He is talking to us all the time and we're hearing Him and we're moving and being controlled by His Spirit. So we fulfill destiny. We're not here just for any, we're here for His purpose. He has a purpose for us to fulfill. And the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to lead us into that. So as Christians, we're partners with God. And what I love about God is that He has a part and we have a part. So being partners with God, God does His part, but we have to do our part. Amen? Amen. And if we don't do what we can do, wait a minute. If we do what we can do, God will do what we cannot do. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. This is the fruit that should be produced in our lives. It says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the kind of fruit that should be manifest in our lives so that the power of God can also be manifest. That's what it springs out of, is this kind of a person who's gentle, a person who's full of patience. Have you ever seen somebody who's just mean? I mean, I've even seen people I say this, you know, in that it hasn't happened that much, but I have seen people, you know, who are in church that, you know, very well-meaning, but just mean. You want to do this, you know, for God and that for God, but no fruit. You know, so it's kind of like, yeah, it's just not jiving. Know what I'm saying? So yeah, this is the foundation that this is what God has got to spring out of. Amen. To do the signs and the wonders. Well, I don't want us to get excited about the gifts and not be producing the fruit. So if we're going to produce this kind of fruit, we have to make Him the center of our everything. And you know, it says here, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He does not control our lives at will. He doesn't just come and make you do this or that. He cannot make you. It's up to us to follow Him and to allow Him to control our lives. When we allow Him to control us so that we can bear this kind of fruit, it glorifies God and it reflects Him. Jesus called it abiding in the vine. It's about that vine life. John 15, 5. He said, I am the vine. You're the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. So we have to be in this vital union with Him, in this relationship. Message Bible says it like this. I love this. It says, when you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Just flesh. But we want the real Spirit of God. Amen? So that being connected to Him, He's at the center of everything all the time. I don't ever have a time I set God over here. You stay there. While I do my own thing. No, that's we want to abide in Him. And abide means to stay. Number two, fruitful living needs. There's some things we need in order to live out a fruitful life. Stuff that we got to have. And the first thing is, we need to want God to change us. How about that? Yeah. Hallelujah. See, the ugly truth is that you may not want to change. You might be okay with your mess. That's the ugly truth of it, is that we might be, you know what, don't mess with me. I'm good. God won't make you. But when you're in a real relationship with Him, He's always working on you. Why? Because He loves us. He loves, aren't you glad He loves us enough to fool with us? Amen. And so you have the choice to decide to go with what he's you know, leading us into, or you have the choice to say no and just stay like you are. But it's the will of God that we would grow up and grow in the fruit of who He is. I got a call the other day from someone who had just one question. Pastor Sally, I just got one question, and I don't know what's wrong. I don't know why, you know, why I just can't get on track with my money. I don't understand why. You know, what's the problem? I mean, sometimes my money's okay, and then sometimes my finances just don't, they just won't stretch and reach. And I said, well, the only thing I know to tell you is what I've done since the day I got saved, and that is that I became a tither, and I became a giver, and I began to give, and I've never lacked. I've been through some pretty terrible stuff, but I've never lacked. God has always provided for me. And I told her that. Now she's like, I don't think that's exactly what she wanted to hear. I think she wanted me to wave a magic wand and say, it's been around three times and it's all going to work out by the morning. But that's not how it works. You have a choice to go with what God says to do. And that, you know, this was a Holy Spirit call. That was a Holy Spirit word. Amen. She called wanting to know, asking me, what's wrong with my finances? Well, if you're not a tither and a giver, it's not going to stretch because you've robbed God. So, you know, what, and now so it's up to her to choose to do that. And so we have the right to choose, but you got to want to change bad enough that you're willing to change. And we don't like change. You know, we don't like to change. We get kind of stuck in what we are or where we are, and it's like, don't bother me. I'm okay with this. But we have to be willing to change. You got to say, God, I want to change. I want to be what you want me to be. Amen? Now, in this passage of Scripture, Paul is talking about becoming like Christ. He was just talking about becoming like Him. Philippians 3:12, he says, now, I know that I have not already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus has taken hold of you for a reason, for a purpose. And to grow you into Christ-like maturity so you can be a good soldier, so you can do what God wants you to do here on the earth. We're not just here to live for ourselves. We're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. He has some stuff He wants us to do, so people need to know about Him. Amen. So He's, you know, He's determined. You know, I haven't gotten there yet, but Paul had come pretty far. I mean, from a murderer to being a disciple that's going out and doesn't mind being shipwrecked, doesn't mind being boiled in oil or whatever, you know, all the stuff that happened to Paul. He didn't mind any of that stuff. He's like, you know, it's fine. I just want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Romans 8:29 in the Message says, God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. Jesus is the standard. And He shapes our lives. He decided long time ago, no matter how we were when we got to Him or when He got to us and we became saved, because we, you know, when you get saved and you come into the kingdom, we bring all our trash and baggage with us. We come just like we all come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. I mean, we drag our garbage bags down with us to the altar. And God wants to change that and set us free and to make us more like His Son. It's like, that's the guideline right there. Jesus is the guideline. He wants to shape our lives along the same lines as the life of His Son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity He restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in Him. After God made that decision of what His children should be like, He followed it up by calling people by name. He knows your name. After He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then after getting them established, He stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what He had begun. God will finish the work in you. You got to cooperate because you want to do it the easy way. The easy way is to cooperate with him. We'll talk about pruning in a moment. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. And the message says, God wants us to grow up. See, and growing up may not be something we want to do. Might not want to grow up. But God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love. He wants us to know the whole truth so that we can tell it in what? We learned last week, in love. So that we can tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. So we have to decide, yes, Lord, change me. Grow me up. It's a decision that becomes an ongoing lifestyle. I got a yes for you now. I have a yes for you in 10 minutes. I have a yes for you in the afternoon. I have a yes in the evening. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the boss, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. We don't got to. We get to. Amen. All right. Number two need that we have. We need to stop making excuses for bad behavior. And excuses are crutches for the uncommitted. So, yeah. We have to decide that we're going to stop making excuses for bad behavior. You know, you might say, well, you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know. For me in my life, because I suffered abuse from my father, hit in the face and called stupid, was forbidden to flinch. I had to hold my arms down by my side and let him hit me in the face and in the head. And, he was just cruel like that. It was horrible. It scarred me. Who wouldn't be scarred from that? And it made me a controlling person. It made me a mean person. Me. Sweet little old me. I was mean. I'm telling you, I was mean. Really mean. I know y'all don't believe it, but I was. Kenta, was I mean? Yeah, I was mean. I'll tell you. I was mean. I was horrible. I was just horrible. They called me a worse than a bear. They said, well, she's really being a bear today at work. My staff said, she's really being a bear today. Another one said, no, a gorilla. More like a gorilla today. Yeah, I was mean. And I kind of gave myself a pass because of my past. And let myself act that way. And some stuff I didn't even realize that I was doing. I just thought it was part of my personality. But God wanted to change that. He wanted to change that in me. It wasn't okay. He had some stuff, has some stuff that he wants me to do in my life, and until I got those things straightened out, there wasn't any way he was going to be able to use me in the capacity that he wants to use me in my life. Amen. So I had to stop making excuses for being that way, and I had to address it. I had to talk to myself. I had to take a good long look at myself in the mirror and say, this is not good. So I had to stop making excuses and commit to change. And I tell you, there's so much freedom in surrender. Really, a lot of freedom when you decide to say, God, I just surrender. You know, if other people keep telling you you're touchy, you're cranky, you're impatient, pay attention. They might be seeing something that you're not seeing. You know, when someone gives me feedback, I call it feedback, not criticism. But, you know, I handle criticism and praise the same way. I don't let it go to my head. When somebody lets me know, okay, this is, I feel like you did this or you did that, I will stop and analyze it. We have to kind of analyze ourselves and say, okay, now, to be fair, was I a little bit this? Because the first thing we want to do is get defensive, right? And we can do the same thing with God if we're not careful, is get defensive and start making excuses to God about why. So we can't do that. We have to say, God, you are God. And if somebody has told me over and over again, I'm cranky or I'm this or I'm that, I need to take a look at that. I don't let it go to my head and overwhelm me, but I say, okay, Lord, help me with that. Let's start working on it. And on purpose, begin to work on it. Ephesians 4:22 says, take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct. You got to let it work into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. That's awesome that God's going to let his character be reproduced in me. And you know what? It won't happen overnight. It's a process. But don't let that be an excuse either. Well, I'm in the process. I'm a work in progress. Because that can be an excuse to stay the same too. So you can't do that either. Amen? Amen. All right, Ephesians 4:30 in the message says, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Holy Spirit is so precious in our lives. So the role of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit to change us. Let's look at that. Number three, we need constant fellowship in his Word for fruitful living. Constant fellowship. Now, when you think about it, fellowship with the Word, Jesus is the Word. So when you get in the Word, you really are fellowshipping with Jesus. Romans 10:17 tells us what? So everybody knows this passage of Scripture. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So hearing is constant. It didn't say faith comes by what you heard. It comes by hearing and hearing. And hearing, you got to keep hearing it. You got to saturate yourself in the Word and stay in fellowship with the Word. John 15:7-8, he said, if you abide or live in me and my words abide in you. So I'm living in him. I'm abiding in his Word. I'm putting his Word in constantly. I'm putting his Word in. He says, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That's so powerful. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Wow. Listen to it in the message. It says, but if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, now of course he's not talking about grapes, that's a metaphor. When you produce fruit, when you mature as my disciples. See, we are spirit beings. That's who we really are. We're living in a body, but who we really are is a spirit being made in the image and in the likeness of God. Our natural bodies live on the nutrients that we get from our food, right? My spirit lives on the nutrients from the Word of God. You got to have a balanced diet. You can't always just hear what you want to hear. Ouchie. You can't just always hear what you want to hear. You got to take the whole entirety of the Word of God and let it change you. Let it be like sandpaper on you. Let it shape you into who He wants you to be. Amen? Let that fruit manifest in your life. And so our spirits function with the Word of God. We cannot function spiritually without the Word living and breathing in us. We cannot function without the Word. We're not going to bear any fruit without the Word of God being put in, us fellowshipping and in constant fellowship with His Word. Luke 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone. By what? Every word of God. So I can't just live on natural food and come to church on Sunday, get a little word, and go home and not get in the Bible all week long. I can't live like that if I want to bear much fruit. He wants us to bear much fruit so the Father is glorified. Amen? So I can't just get a word on Sunday and then not crack the Bible again all week long. I've got to be living on that Word. Amen? Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word is the Word discerns you. You just don't discern the Word, but the Word discerns you. When you read it, it's reading you. It's talking to you. It's talking to your spirit. It's feeding your spirit. It's the only thing that can go between your soul and your spirit and divide. It's the only thing that can. Message Bible says God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. And impervious means unable to be affected by. So nobody is impervious to God's word. We cannot get away from it no matter what. So it's like a surgeon's scalpel doing surgery, spiritual surgery on us. 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God. Continue to behold in the word of God. That's ongoing. Continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror. Say, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So he's taken us from glory to glory as we continue. We got to be living in that word. That word, we will reflect his glory and go from one degree of glory to another as we continue to behold him in the word. Amen. It's like looking at Jesus. It's like talking to Jesus. Romans 12:2. God says, don't be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there it is again, being transformed, being changed into his image a little bit more every day as we continue to let that word transform us. And we said this before, but I changed up the way we said it a little bit because it makes it a little bit easier to understand. See, we're doing this with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying that this is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Change is the product of human effort. It will take some effort on our part, but it's sustained and assisted by God's help. God's helping us. So it's human effort. It's going to take my human effort, but I'm not doing it by myself. The Holy Spirit is working alongside me, helping me. All right? Now listen to it in the Message translation. This is amazing. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That means every day, no matter what it is that I'm doing, I'm living with a God consciousness. My life is yours, God, and I'm conscious of your presence every moment of every day, everything that I do. Amen? Amen. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. That is so awesome. Embracing what he does for you is the best thing you could do for him. So then we go on. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. That's it right there. You ought to put a circle around that. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. See, we have to develop this, y'all. That's why I'm taking the time to lay this foundation, because we have to develop this in our lives, this consciousness of God in our lives, if we're going to go to the next level with the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? He calls this, you know, submitting your bodies holy and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. That's our reasonable service. But see, he wants us to go on from there to where we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants us to move on to the next level where we are able to be a conduit for his Holy Spirit and his power to flow through. Amen. So we got to lay this foundation. That's why I'm taking the time to do this, because we have to have this sensitivity to him for our nature and for to act like him, to have the fruit of the Spirit, so that whenever it's time to lay hands on somebody that you don't even know, or when it's time to, God gives you a word to tell somebody, you'll be hearing it, you'll be sensitive to it. See, we're going somewhere. We're headed somewhere. We're going somewhere. So we're laying a foundation on purpose. That's why we're taking the time to do this. Thank you, Lord. So you can want to go on to the sensational, you know, and overlook the supernatural power of God to change us, which is the most important thing. Amen. All right? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Okay, so readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. And see, if we'll be faithful over this, he'll make us ruler over much. So if I'll be faithful over this right here, then he'll make me ruler of helping others. Does that make sense to anybody? Number four, another need that we have. We need to not be discouraged about where we are in the process. Don't be discouraged if you ain't there yet. Amen. Or if you still got a lot of stuff that you're working on. God's still got a lot of stuff. He's working on me. Amen. I'm not discouraged. I'm just in the process. I've just learned to rest in his grace. I've learned to rest in the peace of God and say, God, okay, I'm cooperating as much as I can. I thank you that I'm getting there. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. We will get there. You will. The one who started a good work in me will complete it. He will get it finished before it's over with. Amen? So don't be discouraged. Instead, get excited about how far you've come. I mean, look back and go, thank God I'm not that girl anymore. Hallelujah. Wouldn't none of y'all be here? Amen. So God knows that we aren't ever going to stop making mistakes. But he's not going to let us live a junky life either and get by with it. That lets me know that he loves me. He's allowed to correct us. He's allowed to correct us. And many times we just self-correct because we're in that word. You're in the Word, and the Lord speaks something to you from that Word. You're reading it. All of a sudden, something will just leap off the page. Or sometimes for me, I don't know if it works like this for you, I'll be reading along, and it has nothing to do with what I'm reading in the print, but the Lord will speak something to my heart that I needed to hear and I needed to know. But it's while I'm in that Word, and God will just speak something to you. So when he does that, you know that he's pruning you. Amen? And pruning is not a bad thing. Correction is not a bad thing. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Amen? Amen. So when you get corrected, it's because God loves you. That's love in action right there. So let's look at number three, lifting up and pruning. And we're almost finished. Amen. We won't get out of here early today. Right, take my time. Kent said I can take my time, y'all. You ain't going to get out early then. Amen. Yeah, lifting up and pruning. Pruning, you know, think about what pruning is. I mean, it's a cutting away. I mean, think about it. Whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, it does not seem pleasant, but it's necessary for health and for growth. It's necessary that when you want a plant to really grow and to really bear fruit, that you cut it back. Sometimes it's got to be cut back. Pruning, here's what pruning, the definition is, it's cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to increase fruitfulness and growth. You know, sometimes, you know, God will subtract when you think he ought to be adding. He'll divide when you think he ought to be multiplying. You know, because he's God and he knows what he's doing. Amen. You know, there's been, you know, people, things, stuff that's been subtracted from my life over and over, but it always made me grow. And made me correct some things. Amen. I didn't like it at the time. Heck no. But as you mature in God, you realize that's God doing what he does because he loves me. Amen. So pruning. John 15, 1 through 4. Let's talk about the pruning. He said, I am the true vine. And my father is the vine dresser or the gardener. The one with the shears. The clippers. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. But when you look at that phrase right there, it says he takes away. Because I started reading this. You know, I'm a student of the word. I want to question stuff. Because it says that he, if you're bearing fruit, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So it'll bear more fruit. What is pruning? Cutting and taking away, right? So what does that mean right there? Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Because isn't taking away and pruning the same thing? What's up with this? So that caused me to like dig a little deeper. What does that mean? What is takes away? What does that mean? So I looked it up. and takes away some. It means to lift up, it means to prop up, and it means to raise up. So it doesn't mean that he did, if you're not bearing fruit, I'm going to get rid of you. Because you could think that's what that means, but that's not what it means. He takes away, it means that he'll lift you up, prop you up. He'll raise you up. He'll come and assist you and help you so that you will bear fruit.
Thank you, Lord.
So God, the vine dresser or the gardener, props us up to get the fruit going. That's good. Look at this picture. Miss Toby and I and Sandy went to Fredericksburg on Monday and Tuesday of this last week, and we visited a winery. We visited a winery, and it's kind of dark. I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, you can see it. This was actually in the vineyard where they were growing the grapes, and if it was a little bit lighter, you could see there are some grapes growing there. But I don't know if you could see up there. See that horizontal line, white horizontal? There's a couple of them.
Yeah.
That's where the vine dresser or the gardener put rows of, it looked like wire, that the vines could be lifted up and rested on so that they could bear fruit.
Yes.
I thought, what an excellent picture. So I sent that to myself from my phone last night because I thought it was so interesting. There we were, and there's a picture of exactly what I just discovered last night, that he lifts you up and props you up so that you can get the sunshine that, you know, the sunshine that the plant needs. They put it like that so that it's got a place to grow and to spread out. And isn't that what God says that he'll do? He'll give you a place to spread out, put you in a broad place so that you can begin to bear fruit. So he props us up. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hebrews 12:6 says, it's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. So that's a work. The correction that he does is a work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. You know, when you hear the Word and God speaks something to you, that's the correcting power of God. That's the love of God in action right there. Colossians 3, 1 through 2, in the Amplified says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, raise up. Raise up. If that's what God does is lifts us up, then you got to start thinking. He wants you up. He doesn't want you, you know, it can't bear fruit laying on the ground. So that's why he lifts it up. So we've got to get up, raise ourselves up, lift up. And so some things that we have to lift up. He says in Colossians 3:12, he said, and if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep them set on things above, the higher things, not on the things on the earth. So you gotta decide, I'm going to be lifted up and think on those things that God wants me to think on so that I can bear the fruit he wants me to. Because if you're thinking, you know, you're not ever going to get beyond your thinking. You're not going to bear that kind of, you're going to bear the kind of fruit that you're thinking about. Here, y'all. It's going to start right here. If you're not thinking right, you're not going to manifest right. You've got to meditate on those things that are good, that are the higher things. Amen? The things that tell us who we really are, not the things that are down low. That's not what God doesn't want us low living in low places. Amen? He wants us lifted up and living in high places. Hallelujah. And so he wants to lift us up above the things that keep us from bearing fruit. And anything that prevents the kind of growth, or prevents that kind of growth causes fruit bearing. Anything that prevents it, we want to be lifted up from that. So we want to be lifted up from, number one, fruitless attitudes. Fruitless attitudes. If you're thinking wrong, you're going to have a bad attitude. Your attitude is not going to be conducive to bearing fruit. Attitudes are formed by our thoughts. What you think, you will become. So you got to choose. I'm gonna think higher. If you've got a fruitless attitude, let's just say you're pitiful, having a pity party all the time. Poor me. That is a fruitless attitude. You're not going to bear any kind of fruit, because you could be pitiful or you could be powerful, but you cannot be both. And we are called to be powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit. So decide, I've got to change the way I'm thinking so I can change my attitude. Entitlement. Sometimes we think, that's what happened to Eve in the garden. She decided, yeah, well, God don't want me to have it. I'm entitled to be like God. What's up with that? You know, that's a fruitless attitude. You can't have a fruitless attitude. Strongholds. Strongholds are mental thought patterns that are opposite to the word of God or the will of God for your life. So you got to break those strongholds down. Amen. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. So he's saying put it into practice. Change your attitude by changing the things that you're thinking about. All right? Then you want to be lifted up from fruitless people. Fruitless people. You cannot hang out with fruitless people and think you're going to bear fruit. You can't hang out with people who are living low and think that you're going to be living high. Because you're going to lower yourself to their standard just to try to get along. Because we try to do that. We try to, connect with people. And we'll lower ourselves rather than have others come up to where we are. So you cannot hang out with fruitless people. And some of the bad attitudes that we develop can come from the people that you hang around. You're hanging around with people that got a bad attitude. You're going to pick it up. Somebody who's negative all the time, always talking negative, you're going to pick that up. So, yeah, you're going to have to limit their exposure to you. And don't be afraid to do that. You have permission to purge people from your life that are dragging you down, pulling you down, keeping you in low living when God wants to lift you up to a high place so that you can start bearing the kind of fruit that he wants you to have. So that's why you need to be around some people that kind of make you uncomfortable a little bit. Amen. See, we want to be the big fish in a small pond. But God wants you to be a little fish in a big pond and get exposed to some people who got it working in their lives. Get around some people that are so excellent, they make you look at yourself and go, ooh, I should have worked that out for, you know. Amen. You want to get around some people that got it going on, because that'll rub off on you. You need to have mentors and people that are helping to take you to the next level. So you gotta purge fruitless people out of your life. Fruitless. Nope. What did Brother Don used to say, Jack? Willy nilly, Casper milk toast, double do nothing, shrieking violet people. He'd say you can't hang out with people like that. My first pastor drilled that into our heads, didn't he? Yes, he did. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You might say, but I really like them. But do you want to live low? Is it worth it? Do you like them that much? All right. Number three thing that we got to be lifted up from is fruitless habits. Hey, we got the same thing. Y'all preaching to yourselves right now. Fruitless habits. You know, things that we do that are not producing anything. Things that we're doing that are producing, just producing bad things in our lives. Take a look at it. What are my habits doing? What do I do all day long? What am I doing towards bearing fruit? What am I doing towards going to another level? What am I doing? Where is that on my priority list every day? And let me just say, the mastermind group, is it this Monday night, Kevin? No. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Monday. And is tomorrow the 31st or the 1st? 31st. So it's not this Monday, but it's next Monday. The mastermind group is the Kingwood Courtyard Marriott. It is amazing. Sarah and Kevin always encourage us and give us nuggets about how to stretch into the next level, how to really order your day by the habits that you create. It is very encouraging. I can't encourage you enough to be a part of that. I go myself to that. In fact, we do it twice a month, but the next one is coming up next Monday night, Kingwood Courtyard Marriott. In fact, the address is on the back. Well, no, you don't even need the address. Just put in Google Kingwood Courtyard Marriott, and that's where it is. So, yeah, fruitless habits. You need to... There's some habits that do not lead to fruitfulness. But the good news about habits is they can be changed. What do they say? It takes 21 days to create a new habit. That means you got to start. And I think the hardest thing is just starting. Amen. Talking yourself into starting. Amen. I think that's the hardest part. But once you get it going and it gets a little bit easier every day because it becomes part of your routine. Like making up your bed. Once you just take the 21-day make up your bed challenge, and after about 10 days, you won't be able to stand your bed not being made up. Y'all so quiet right there. Or just, you know, put your shoes away or put your things away. You know, just go start a habit of just being orderly and neat with your things. That's a habit that really kind of, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving because it helps you, you know, have more peace in your life because everything is ordered. Amen? So, yeah, habits. What about those habits that are time wasters and focus breakers? Oh, somebody's preaching down here. Somebody said
Facebook.
Social media.
Facebook.
It's okay. And her daughter is telling her Facebook, just fronting her out right here. You know, social media is a tool. And it is enjoyable to see what's going on with everybody and let everybody know what's going on with you. It is enjoyable. I enjoy it. But you know what? Before you know it, you've been on there 2 hours, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what have I done with 2 hours? You know, and I think it's okay, everything in moderation. But time wasters and focus breakers. Somebody tell me another time waster or focus breaker. Television? Yeah, it is kind of fruitless. I mean, it is enjoyable, but if you're doing it all day long and that's all you're doing and you're not doing anything or creating any habits towards your goals or towards the vision of God for your life, if it's taking up word time, not saying that you shouldn't ever watch. I'm not, don't go home and say, Pastor, I said I can't watch TV. That's not what I'm saying. You want to make sure that you get the things in that you need to get in as well. Amen?
Amen.
All right. That's it. That's all I got. Amen. I was turning over to the. So yeah, we're gonna be bearing fruit. So now we're gonna move into talking about the power of God. Moving forward here, I think we've built a good base. We know we've got to be working out of love. And you know what? You can always go on the app and listen to the.